All right, judges, court staff, behavioral health professionals, county officials, law enforcement, and many, many others schooled in this field going to all convene tomorrow here in Pittsburgh. The intersection of justice and behavioral health is what they're going to be working on. One such person, State Supreme Justice Kevin Daugherty, and he joins right now. Hi, Justice. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Certainly. This is a very important meeting. We talk about this where you live. We talk about this right where we live, particularly in the two big cities in this Commonwealth. This cycle that keeps happening with the intersection of mental health and the justice system, and we've got to kind of break the cycle somehow. It's my understanding you guys are all going to get together and maybe try to figure out a way which we could advance in doing that.
Absolutely. The national behavioral health crisis is impacting every aspect of life, and the court system is not immune. And as a result, we're just seeing larger and larger number of children and families getting involved either through truancy dependency, which ultimately penetrated to the adult system. And there has to be a basis for this, and we have to work together. I think the three branches of government have operated in their silos so singularly that it's been to our detriment. So since last October, when we convened the first judicial summit on mental illness, the governor's office and the General Assembly, finally the three branches of government came together, and we've been working. And as a result of that meeting, we developed our regional behavioral health seminars. And that's what you're going to experience in Pittsburgh tomorrow.
State Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty joining KDK right now. With all the differences in government at the local, state, national level, have you found that it's bipartisan and that people can come together and say, listen, we got to get cities cleaned up, we have to have safe environs, and people can come together no matter the differences and try to figure this one out?
Yeah, absolutely. I have to tell you, I think it was 1986, Ronald Reagan said the nine most terrifying words were, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I'm trying to prove that that's not true, and that when the three branches of government work together, good things happen. And that's what I'm seeing. We have the governor's office created an executive branch commission on mental health. We have the House of Representatives bipartisan commission on mental health. And we now, our chief justice created a new position, which is a behavioral health executive director. And the three are finally communicating.
How many cases, whether it's at the magistrate's office or it's up higher in the courts, are a case of somebody with mental illness that you think that we just got to find a better plan for them and find a place for them?
I can't tell you. Probably every case that comes to us, we're being touched with someone with a mental health condition or a concern regarding their mental health, which ultimately bleeds over into substance abuse issues, and the two combined equal, entry into our criminal justice system. And we cannot just keep incarcerating those who have health needs or substance abuse needs. We got to do the right thing.
Whether it was you or whether it was Deborah Todd or whoever, how did this all come about, and what was the impetus behind getting together in the same room and kind of talking all this out?
The impetus was a few years ago, then Chief Justice Max Baird, God rest his soul, sent me as his appointee up to Brooklyn, New York, to a behavioral health and the courts. At that time, we went with a team of Pennsylvania court officials, and I went to a seminar and heard this judge from Miami-Dade speak about this incredible accomplishment down there called the Miami-Dade County Model for Mental Health, Substance Abuse, Criminal Justice Reform. It was so successful that they actually closed a prison down there. And I thought, if Miami-Dade can do it, then we can try to do that in Pennsylvania. And I came back, and Chief Justice Todd gave us some permission, as the other justices on the court. And it's a coordinated effort, and I'm just blessed to lead it, to start doing this reform. And the first thing I did was reach out to our government partners. And I had a great reception, both by the General Assembly and by the governor's office.
How much of a flashpoint, a very public flashpoint, is it, and was it, I guess, for the most high-profile person in the state to get his own home firebombed? And that's kind of a, we got to stop this moment. This is the governor's mansion that gets firebombed by somebody who's admittedly mentally ill. That had to open up eyes if they weren't opened up already.
Absolutely. And the problem is, we'd have to look and determine, did he have any contact with our system? If so, where did we fail? Did he enter in any branch of government? And was this notified? And if so, where did we fail? The courts and our community system partners need to work together. We have to start developing best practices, learning what the bottlenecks are in our system, learning what is working and what's not. My first comment with our system partners were, look, we know that we don't know, and we each have to come to the table being able to share what our weaknesses are so that our weaknesses can become our strengths. And I'm proud to say that all branches of government have been working consistently and cooperating to try to address this. And it's, look, at the end of the day, we judges, we can't order people to get better, you know, and then blame them or incarcerate them when it doesn't happen. So the court is, our priority will always be to make sure Pennsylvanians are safe and everybody acts and lives in a civilized society. But if there are those who need to be removed as a result, we still just don't want to lock them up and throw them away and use our prisons as de facto mental health facilities. We got to get the appropriate services and treatments and understand. That's why we broke this down to regional areas. See, Pennsylvania has 60 judicial districts. We have 7 counties. And while our Constitution is like a part of federalism, it said, you know, there's the federal government, which that's our Supreme Court, governor, and executive. We have a similar local state. That's each county. Our courts are judicially run through counties. And what we're trying to do is, while we're county-based, we now are trying to regionalize along with the other two branches, and we're mimicking the Office of Mental Health and Substance Abuse, and we're trying to follow where the money is and the insurances, and we're developing these 7 regional councils that are like a duplicate of the government's, Pennsylvania's, ability to address things holistically. So we're trying to make sure that we have access to the insurance and the information and the programs and the case management, so that we can do things. We got to think out of the block, and we're just in the beginning stages of that.
When this comes up on my show, when there is a crime, when somebody's walking around on either no cash bail or they're just out and they're mentally ill, the first thing that's brought up, and it's brought up, Justice, by a lot of my callers, is this. We got to find the money to reopen state mental health facilities. Do you hear that a lot, too?
I do. And listen, that's the conversation that has to be on the table. You have to remember, there will be that part of population that is so seriously mentally ill and prone to criminal aspects that they have to be removed from a free and civilized society. The question is, how do we do it appropriately? We saw the abuses of these types of our mental health facilities. We're down to a few. But the concept of a residential treatment facility being secure is a good thing. I got to tell you, throughout my career as a common pleas court judge, I used to say my job was to separate the good person that got caught up in a bad way by putting away the bad person that needs to be removed. And I'll never apologize for either. But while we're incarcerating you, you're not there to rot. You have to be treated in rehab and supervised because you're coming back. But if you can't, we need that alternative, and we're just in the process of discussing those. These are subjects that people want to address, but government kept their mouth closed, or at least they put their hands over their ears. Finally, I think the three branches are discussing, and that's a good thing.
Fantastic, and it'll be discussed tomorrow in Pittsburgh. I appreciate your time, and it's a fantastic program. We'll talk about it a little more on the show as I push forward. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
Stay well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Those are strong words. And State Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty, he along with Chief Justice Deborah Todd, they're commissioning this. It's a summit. It's the 4th of 7-part series. And it brings together judges, court staff, behavioral health professionals, county officials, law enforcement, and others. If you hear the tone of his voice, he's serious about this. Something needs to be done, a coordinated approach. And it's enlightening to hear. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. That's pretty powerful stuff. Appreciate him coming on. State Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty from the other side of the state is going to make his way here overnight. And people do need to get together. And powerful people. Not goofballs like me talking on the radio and saying we need to get something done from a mental health meets law enforcement standpoint. Not people who can actually force change and make change, like him, like Deborah Todd, like, you know, those sort of people, people in law enforcement. And honestly, you have somebody who's a very powerful person in this state saying, yeah, I agree with you. That discussion has to happen about state mental health institutions being opened back up. And it'll all be on the table at this summit tomorrow when the Pennsylvania courts hold that right here in Pittsburgh. Lisa's in Hampton. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
How you doing, Colin?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. So I just happened to jump on midway through you speaking with Kevin, and it hit hard. I have a son in ACJ, bipolar, was manic, and ended up in jail. Now, a couple things from my viewpoint. Number one, you have no power or authority when you're dealing with an adult child. He was 302'd and walked out multiple times. Now, at the end of the day, it's his fault for not seeking help because he would only go through mania once a year and then be depressed the other part of the time. My point is, it took me longer to get a 302 warrant than it did for him to get released from a hospital just because he knows how to play the game. And I was told, well, if he knows how to play the game, then he can't be that mental.
Yeah, it's tough, but particularly the day they turn 18, the whole game changes.
So now we're trying to get a POA of a family member for her to sign over a POA. So when he comes out of jail, that he can't walk out of a mental health facility, because this is it. We've been dealing with this for many years. And I was just so happy to hear, and I'm going to re-listen to it, and I would like to go to this if the public is open to it, because our hopes is on the one felony that was dropped to a misdemeanor. He has a total of four misdemeanors with a formal hearing coming mid-November. And our hope is that the judge can mandate a lengthy stay at a mental facility to get properly diagnosed and then be put on medication and watched, see how that medication works out, because there's so many.
Right. And this was my point. This was my point, Lisa, was when the governor had his own home firebombed, okay, and trouble found him from somebody who was mentally ill, that was the moment for the highest ranking person in our state to stop the ride and say, we need to do all we can to reopen these state mental health institutions. My home got bombed. We got to figure it out.
Yeah, 100%. Because, and again, if he comes out and now he's not manic anymore and he just doesn't like taking medicine, and that's on him, but it's like, here we go, round and round and round again. And 302, so many times, I went to the Resolve Center a second time at this particular episode, and they all but laughed at me. Well, we're not going out and looking for him.
Write a letter to State Supreme Court Justice Kevin Daugherty, because if there's one thing that I could take from my conversation with him, and somebody texted pretty much these very words, Matt in Penn Hills did not too long ago. It seems like he has a plan of action instead of a lot of people who are elected or appointed that sit around and screech about doing the right thing without any plan at all. Kevin Daugherty has a plan of action. He needs others to get on board with it, but he has a plan of action. And it's enlightening to hear And it was enlightening for him to relay that on KDK. So go back and listen to it if you didn't hear it just a few minutes ago on our Odyssey Rewind app. You can go back on our website and check it all out. But it forced me to stop dead in my tracks and say, this is a man with a lot of power who can make things happen. He needs help from people in sort of parallel positions of his. 866-391-1020. Get to a lot of things today. That's 866-391-1020. News, bottom of the hour. KDK. Fair enough. 866-391-1020. Wait till you find out in just a little bit what the state wants to put a tax on. Pretty interesting stuff that we'll get to. Again, number here, 866-391-1020. And it's bipartisan what they want to put this tax on. So there are some people who are agreeing. Tim is in Jeanette. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Call, I'm fine. I know you're fine because everybody asked you. I just wanted to say that I usually agree with you all the time. I listen to you as much as I can. But I was a little upset today because I haven't heard anything about Judge Daugherty for quite some time. And all of a sudden now, 2 weeks before the election, you have him on your program. And it just seems to me that it's a political ad.
Okay. Actually, I had Judge Daugherty on because he's coming to Pittsburgh and trying to tackle the intersection of mental health and the criminal justice system, along with like 40 other people. And he and Deborah Todd are the people heading this. So, that being said, do you think it's not an important issue?
No, I think it is a very important issue. It just seems like such a coincidence 2 weeks before the election, not all of a sudden he's concerned about that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that I don't know. What I do know is this. I got a press release about this event happening tomorrow, okay? And yeah. I wasn't going to talk about it last week. It's happening tomorrow, and I think it greatly affects many Pennsylvanians, many Pittsburghers, no matter what your political affiliation is. And to be honest with you, in terms of Justice Daugherty, I really don't even know much in terms of which way he leans, where he is. What I know he's a Democrat, but other than that, I don't know much. That being said, do you suggest I not talk about this issue with him?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just thought it was a coincidence right before 2 weeks for the election to, for him to be retained. I just thought.
Okay, Tim, who do you suggest I talk to so that your life is balanced and that I give fair and equitable chance to people? Because two people were mentioned as heading this program. And that was Deborah Todd and Justice Daugherty. So who do you suggest I speak to?
No, I'm just saying I thought it was a coincidence. And, you know, I think you do a great job on the radio in this. I don't know, it just seemed like we had a state representative for Jeanette before, and we wouldn't see him for like 2 years. And then like 3 months before the election, he appeared and was everywhere out of nowhere. Just jogged my mind like that representative that we had. That's all.
Did you ever think maybe you're trying too hard?
No. I just think, you know, I don't know. I just think sometimes people come out of the woodwork I haven't heard nothing from Daugherty for like, you know, 10 years. And all of a sudden, before the election, here he comes. So that's all. That's my opinion. And I don't know.
Well, I want to try to make it right for you then. Who do you suggest I have on that would satisfy you?
Oh, no, but you almost everybody you have on satisfies me. And I have no problem with him. It just seemed, like I said, a coincidence that all of a sudden, 2 weeks before the election, he gets free political ads. That's all.
That's not a free political ad. I interviewed him about a very particular event that he was attending and leading tomorrow. It's not at all a political ad, and I think that's where our wires are crossed. And frankly, all your kind words aside, I think you're misguided in what you said if you think that was a political ad, because he didn't push one political agenda. And even more so, if you want to talk politics, I'll roll my sleeves up and do it. He spoke about something politically that's pretty far from his voting base.
Yeah. Okay, well, like I say, we normally agree. I think we're agreeing to disagree today.
Sure, that's fine, and thank you for the call. You had a Democratic judge, a guy who's an inner-city Philly Democratic judge, talking about cleaning up cities, getting people mental health treatment, and this stuff won't stand anymore. That seems to be a pretty far cry from the general left refrain that we hear a lot. So I took it as honest, really real talk about diving into crime and getting things fixed. I can't wake up every day and have a political tinge to every single thing that I do. You'd go crazy. And frankly, I think people in this country that do that are much more the problem than the solution. What I found was an honest man trying to fix things. Susan's in South Hills. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I just want to say quickly, I agree with that previous caller. I understand what you're saying. However, who's ever heard of Dougherty before, and now he's running for retention?
Can I do something before? You're making a lot of assumptions, okay? I'd like you to know something. I sent an email and asked for him and Deborah Todd.
Either one of them. Whatever. Just saying, him showing up 2 weeks before the election, it's definitely crazy.
What did he do to sway a voter in what he said to me?
Why wasn't he doing this a year ago? Why wasn't he doing this 18 months ago?
If Susan in South Hills can listen... Wait a minute. If Susan in South Hills can listen, this is the fourth of seven such caucuses. So he was. But you didn't choose to hear that part. This is the...
A year ago he was doing this?
He was. This is the fourth of such meetings, ma'am. This isn't the first one.
In what time frame?
Over a year. These started. This one is scheduled in Pittsburgh. This might seem crazy, but my show is in Pittsburgh. And that's why I talked about it, ma'am. If you think I do political favors for people, you're talking to the wrong person. You've never listened to this show before.
I'm not saying you're doing a political favor, but I'm saying him all of a sudden appearing and wanting to be on the radio.
No, he didn't want to be. I reached out to him after I saw a press release. And you hung up. Conspiracy theorists and people who want to find a political leaning in everything are the worst of the worst. I'm sorry. I reached out to both he and Justice Todd, asked if they'd come on the show and talk about this program. I don't regret it at all. And frankly, I'm on board with trying the intersection of mental health and law enforcement and trying anything we can to make that better in this state. And if somebody is going to try to take up the mantle for that, I think I should do my due diligence and have them on my show so as to relay exactly what they're trying to do to make this Commonwealth safer. If you want to see it as political, go ahead. That's fine. In saying that, though, it's very obvious you've never listened to this show before. Like, not even one time. I just don't do political favors. It's not the way that it works for me. I can't speak to other shows. I'm just telling you about mine. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Coming up next, certainly people will find this political, but there may be a tax they throw on you for something. I'll explain what that is next. Here we go. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. I can't figure out what's wilder in here. the fact that we all need a booster seat because these chairs are too low, or there's no continuity with the air conditioner slash heater system. I turned it way. I like it freezing cold in the studio when I do the show. And I turned it down, but it's not kicking on today. So now it's about 86 degrees in here. And I have a hoodie on, which isn't not very conducive to doing a show. So as soon as this segment's over, I'm going to get up and try to fix it again. Crazy stuff. Because I'm like sweating through my shirt at this point. So there's all those are the ills of working in this field. 866-391-1020. Listen for that drive at 5. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Taxes, taxes, more taxes. Give us some more taxes. And this time, would you be willing to pay for this tax, or would you just stop using this service?
Democrat Marty Flynn and Republican Joe Picozzi are proposing a 10% tax on subscriptions to online adult content platforms. It would also apply to one-time purchases made on such a site. Flynn and Picozzi argue the new tax, on top of Pennsylvania's 6% sales tax, would guarantee that sites selling adult content are paying their fair share to the Commonwealth. The memorandum says it mirrors what they're doing in other jurisdictions regarding the modernization of the tax code so online businesses are treated appropriately. David Ballarato, News Radio, KDKA.
Porn tax. There we go. The porn tax. So, if you're a porn user, call 866-391-1020. I just saw Andy Lindbergh's head snap around real fast. If you are a porn user, or if you have to opine on this or feel the need to opine on this, let me know. It feels like, and this is probably the right way to go, though. All of our vices are the things that will be taxed most, because many of us have an uncontrollable urge when it comes to our vices, whether it's gambling, drinking, smoking, porn, whatever it is. That's what you lay and levy the heaviest taxes on. And that makes sense. You're not going to do it on necessities, and you hope you can pull it back on things that are necessities or things that are close to necessities, on things that are truly, well, luxuries or vices, like table games, like beer, like if marijuana ever gets legalized and you tax it heavy, like, I don't know, OnlyFans. And that's what's going to happen with this. You know what will happen? They will just, whatever sites charge or whatever, they will just incrementally spike their rates and bake in the tax is the way that it'll work. That's the way it'll be passed along to you, I'm guessing. And that's how it'll all be figured out. So in looking at this, I think it's a pretty decent plan. I don't think it'll scale back the number of users in our state or country, anywhere else, especially in the state. That's what this is. It's a Pennsylvania state tax. What it will do is this. People will get crafty on the internet. They will circumnavigate the places that officially sort of count as going to the internet or have certain purchases. They'll be able to figure out a way to have workarounds, or at least a decent-sized portion of the population will. The porn-going population. 100% so. So that's the way that they'll go about it. They'll still catch some money from some people. People that'll just pay and pay a spiked rate, and it'll go. And then the bipartisan plan put forth by this Marty Flynn and this Joe Picozzi can deem it as a W. They won't make anywhere near the amount of money they think they're going to make, but they will see an increase in revenue. And so by that, they'll say that they can claim a victory. And I'm already here to tell you that's how this will all happen. That's the way it'll go down. And the state's 6% sales tax, which is already there, will jump up to that 10, but they won't get it from nearly as many people that they have designs on. All right, top of the hour. I do want to get back into student loan forgiveness. And also, there are some people being caught at a local university doing something, well, pretty much all college kids do. And it's not porn on the internet. I'll explain in just a little bit.